From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back. It's a Thursday, and this week's a little off kilter because of the timing of the Monday night game, but we have a special treat for you. We got Matt Waldman back with us, and we did a long film session with him. We had to clip it down quite a bit. This is about 45 minutes out of a two-hour conversation all about Patrick Mahomes, what he's doing, and how he's doing it. I think you guys are really going to like this. Make sure you check out the Locked On Podcast Network as well as Matt's site. And thank you for listening. Here's Matt Waldman. Welcome back, Chiefs fans. We are very excited because we got Matt Waldman back. It's been a little bit, but Matt, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I had such fun last night watching that game.
Folks, we're recording the day after.
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. Wow. And this whole month actually has just been so much fun. I even got myself, I'm wearing my Chiefs hat. I finally got myself a Chiefs hat like around late August, you know, and I've been sporting this thing around town in Atlanta, which has been a whole lot of fun.
I can only imagine. Good for you. We're going to need a pic of that.
there's a series of me on Twitter where I'm like taking pictures of me putting up number of fingers for each touchdown that he threw against the Steelers, and then ending with me with a six pack of beer, or actually one beer that's left, as I'm counting off the rings and ripping them off and throwing it away. I think it got a lot of play on Twitter, from all my Mahomes fans that I told them 2 years ago that they must get him in dynasty leagues in fantasy football. So yeah, it became my own little corner niche of the world, an epic tweet among my readers. So yeah,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. And I followed your advice, by the way, in my dynasty league. So we got to talk all about his plays, his arm, all this craziness that has really honestly shocked me at how fast it's come across his success. But I know Chris has got one really interesting thing that we need to probably touch on first.
Thank you. And I will say this originally was from Pro Football Talk. I just look at some of their stats and whatnot and some of the things they talk about. But in an article about Mahomes, Von Miller was talking about Patrick Mahomes as a great quarterback. In that article, they go on to talk about Mahomes has only lost 11 yards on sacks this season and has 109 passing yards per sack yard lost. Now, I understand you laugh about that, but five sacks, 11 yards, so 2.2 yards lost per sack. The context is Smith lost over 200 yards and had only 20 yards per sack yard lost.
Wow. Yeah.
Mahomes is five times as effective as Smith in this regard. And to me, this stat in and of itself, in context wise, says so much about why this offense is able to do what they're able to do, because even if he takes a sack, he's not losing a ton of yards. No. He got one sack last night, and I think he lost 1 yard. And that was the biggest thing with Alex Smith. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Was the biggest thing about Alex Smith that really frustrated you at times is he would take these sacks, and he would be ducking under and taking a 5 or 6 yard loss. And with him, a 5 or 6 yard loss, if it's first down, now you're at first and 16 or second and 16, third and 16, whatever. And he had a trouble completing that and getting out of that situation. Patrick Mahomes obviously doesn't have that issue, but that's still such a telling stat. If he's on pace to do that, if he does that the rest of the season, he will be sacked for, I think, 20 times for 44 yards lost total for the entire year.
And wow.
I know that sounds like a crazy stat and it's just pulling it out of the hat, but man, to me, that just says so much about the way he's played and what he's able to do and how much he's able to help this offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's indicative of a number of things. And you might even say also it's about the number of weapons they had, and maybe even adding that one extra weapon in Sammy Watkins that also creates one extra bind for defenses that they, the way that they've got to play him. But on top of that, it does speak more about Mahomes. And I think that what we saw last night, what you've seen in that stat, also counters that common thing when we talk about him as a gunslinger. We talked about this past summer, is that, yeah, he's a gunslinger in the sense that he has the weapon, but in terms of the wisdom and how he uses it, you'll be surprised at actually how tame he actually is in terms of his decision making. He's not nearly as reckless as people associate a gunslinger to be. And yeah, he had that earlier in his youth where you saw a lot of reckless plays, but you saw him really reduce those from his first year at Texas Tech all the way to his senior year. And I think you're starting to see that also, even with his adjustments from, you know, rookie year to this year, that he's, you know, it's funny, but I'll probably go into this a little bit more at some time, but you think about him, he's almost kind of this quiet perfectionist in a show business kind of way that, I mean, God, I don't even want to make this kind of comparison because it sounds silly, but it's kind of true. Like if you think back to like your childhood and watch a singer or entertainer like Michael Jackson, you know, and you think about Michael Jackson as an entertainer and people my age growing up with him, you think about how great of a dancer he was and, you know, how good of a singer and songwriter that he was in terms of producing hits. How wild some of the things that he did, but he wasn't, you know, by all accounts, he was actually a very exacting perfectionist who, you know, kind of his work ethic and how he did things belied the, you know, what the image was, you know. And I think that in a way, Patrick Mahomes is kind of that way where his image is a reckless gunslinger who creates in all these odd ways. But when you actually watch what he does, it's so well practiced and it's thought out in a way where he's not putting the ball in harm's way nearly as often as you would expect. And you kind of go back and think about it and go, I think everybody expects him to be this wild child, and the play would be wild for anybody else. But for him, it's like throwing it across the field with that balletic move that he did the other night. I mean, if he missed that throw, there was nobody around for it to get intercepted. I mean, it was, you know, it was like, it was a great, crazy play, but conceptually, it was very sound. And I think that's what people missed about him is that you hear gunslinger and they go, oh, it's Jay Cutler. You know, it's Matthew Stafford on a bender. You know,
well, it's Brett Favre and all his interceptions.
Yes, it's Brett Favre with all, exactly. He could do what Brett Favre did as a tool with the tools, but it's like, God, I don't want to say it like this because I love Brett Favre, but it's like Brett Favre, you know, Brett Favre without beer, you know, it's like, you know, it's like he's a teetotaler with Brett Favre stuff, you know, in terms of how he plays on the field. Brett played like he was drunk, you know, I mean, sometimes you looked at that and go, wow, you know, he maybe had a few before the game and he didn't probably, but you know, he was kind of more that guy that you thought, what is it? Did he have too much to drink before he went, you know, before he made that decision? And Patrick Mahomes is like, you watch him and you go, did he just come out of sponsoring somebody in AA, you know, when he made that decision? Because it's, you know, the difference is much more sober in terms of his look at things. But because you associate the gun and the creativity and the inventiveness, you also think that the downside is coming. And maybe it will, but so far it's been pretty steady and sound and logical and kind of conservative if you look at just like where he places the ball.
Well, and that's the thing that's been amazing. You know, Ryan, I'll let you talk just one second. I just want to say that's what's amazed me is since week one, I think he's thrown, I think I saw three or four passes maybe that could possibly be picked last night. But for the most part, you know, in week two and week three, he didn't throw a ball that could have been picked.
Yeah.
That I saw. So that's phenomenal. Ryan, what were you going to say?
Well, I mean, just what Matt was saying, it gives me this picture, and I wish I was an animator or something, because I see this movie shot of Brett going, I can do that. Hold my beer. And he hands it to Mahomes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Mahomes is like, oh, I see the kind of recklessness that you have, and I'm going to learn from that vicariously, and I'm going to apply it to my own game. And I've heard people refer to him as taking calculated risks. And I don't know that it's that thought out. I see him as purely instinctual when he is trying to make some of those plays. But I think the big thing for me, and Von Miller is the guy who really emphasized this last night and even pregame as well, is that the guy does it on the run naturally simply because he feels the pressure. And Von tried all night long and couldn't get to him.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it, is that, you know, when just because when you're asked the question like Gruden asked him in the quarterback camp, why did you do that? Because I can. You know, when you hear someone say that, there's such a bravado that you think that it's automatically, oh, he's reckless and daring. You know, well, he's not reckless, he's daring. And I think that that's the difference, is that, you know, daring is bold. It's audacious. It's not someone doing something beyond the boundaries of good taste, you know, or outside the bounds of what's going to work. You know, that's what reckless does. It's dangerous. Daring isn't dangerous necessarily. And I think that he walks that line better than most. And it is. I mean, he throws like a shortstop. Aaron Rodgers makes a lot of ridiculous throws in his own right as well, but they're also extremely accurate. And they're ones that are just, it's allowing, whoever coached him and the people who coached him basically allowed him free expression to figure out the body mechanics that work for him, and not trying to make him into a little Tom Brady. You know, they looked at it and said, okay, this works. You can throw this way. It's working. Now let's just refine it that you're making the right decisions and not mess with your mechanics so that you get in your own way.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, I think it's a phenomenal way to look at it.
Get out of my head.
We've been doing this too long, buddy.
I know, right? And honestly, before we go too far down that road, I think we have to look a little bit more specifically. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Make sure you check out the rest of the Locked On Network, including Matt Williamson and his brand new lineup. We'll be right back, and we're going to get into the details.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. Go lay down some cash and win big today. We would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to us. That's why we're urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. In my book, you will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000.
So, obviously, we're coming off this Bronco game that I would like to start there, and we can go back in time. I'm sure, Matt, you have some things in particular from other games you'd like to talk about. But for me, what was really intriguing, and maybe it was because I was there in person, but it was the fact that everyone was kind of leading up to this. How are they going to defend him? How are they going to slow him down? And how is he going to react to that? Well, the Broncos did a good job. They mixed their coverages. They got his tools taken away from him in quite a good degree. And his reaction is what drives me crazy. And I want to know what you saw and how he performed when he couldn't do what he wanted.
Yeah, I mean, what I thought was telling is you've got that crowd. I've probably been to more games in Denver than any NFL team, because my dad lived out there for 47 years. So, you know, I've been to a lot of Broncos games, and, you know, watching, knowing what that crowd's like, knowing that, you know, Sammy Watkins is out for the game after the hamstring. So that's an element gone. Travis Kelce gets covered by Harris and effectively taken out of his game for a half. And then what you see is that, yeah, Kareem Hunt played extremely well. And this offensive line did pretty well, except in pass plays where the left tackle unfortunately committed some illegal, you know, some penalties in terms of illegal motion or, you know, what am I thinking? False starts. Yeah. And you're having some issues there. But what I thought was interesting is that it wasn't Mahomes that was jittery. It was his line that got jittery. And I don't blame that because you got Von Miller, you know, and Bradley Chubb on either side, which is going to create that regardless. But it was his linemen who had more trouble holding their water in this situation than Mahomes. If anything, Mahomes looked annoyed. Like he almost looked, and I don't know whether he was or not, but he looked annoyed with some of the penalties. He looked annoyed with some of the situations, and just wanted to kind of get into it and get things going. But what was great about it is this was the game that I think nationally people who are going to be skeptics needed to see. They needed to see, though, that Pat Mahomes is separate from his offense. He's not just an executor of great game plans. He's not just a guy who's benefiting from bad coverage or coverage breakdowns. This is a guy who, when they take all that away and say, all right, we're going to paint you in the corner. I'm going to send Von Miller at you or Bradley Chubb at you, and you're going to have to run for your life and figure out something because it's, oh, I don't know, third and a mile, you know, or second in a league under the sea, and you've got to figure out what to do with that. You're going to do it. And that's exactly – and that was what was wonderful about it, is because you saw the creativity. You saw the poise. You saw him be able to move the chains, whether it was running or making the ridiculous throws that he did. By the time the game was like three quarters of the way over, some of the throws that he was making after the ballet move he did, you know, some of those other throws, you were just like, oh, whatever. I mean, like you almost wanted to like slough them off because you had already seen one of the crazier things you were going to see if you had never watched his Texas Tech tape. You know, after you've seen the left-handed pass and the altered body contortionist act, it's like, oh yeah, he threw a ball across his body, you know, 24 yards downfield, you know, where only the receiver can catch it. Big deal, you know, you know, but you know, meanwhile, you'd have to go back and look at a Donovan McNabb play on third and a mile against the Packers and how people went crazy and, you know, with something like that. And Patrick Mahomes is like, I did that like three times and three times harder, you know, just in one quarter alone. And I think that's where fans might actually end up getting a little spoiled with him at some point, is that some of the throws he makes look ordinary are in themselves extraordinary. And the fact that he had to do it on, you know, he and Kareem Hunt really had to kind of carry things for this team, and that it couldn't just be, you know, coverage breakdowns and great scheming. Cause you know, I mentioned this early this week, and I'll just add this and stop, but it's Mitchell Trubisky 2 weeks ago. You know, I looked at him and was like, he's making the same mistakes with decision-making and poise when backed up in his own territory. He's throwing the ball across his body into traffic. He's not going out of bounds or throwing the ball out of bounds. He's taking sacks. He's creating turnover situations. He's putting his receivers in bad situations because of the fact that he's trying to do everything himself rather than just give up on a play early enough so that he doesn't put his team in a worse situation, because he's trying to be the hero, which a lot of young quarterbacks do. And he did this 2 weeks ago against, you know, the Cardinals. He did it 3 weeks ago against Seattle. And you didn't see much of that Matt Nagy-influenced Chiefs offense into the Bears offense for the early part of the season. And I really thought Tarik Cohen was going to be like the Tyreek Hill type of player who would be the activator of this offense. And then you didn't see it till last weekend against a Buccaneers secondary that had two rookies and a third string safety. And then they started throwing all these, you know, trips, bunch looks with the double moves and, you know, just completely overwhelming this inexperienced Bucs secondary that were mismatched with some good weapons. And now, you know, Mitchell Trubisky throws six touchdowns and everybody's like, oh, see, he came to life. And I'm like, well, maybe. But was he presented with those situations where he was the past 2 weeks in that game at any point? Not at all. He didn't have to, you know, he made good throws, but Blaine Gabbert can make good throws. You know, McCown can make good throws. Ryan Fitzpatrick has had a 5-touchdown game in his career. And Ryan Fitzpatrick was on fire to begin the season. And now we see where Ryan Fitzpatrick is once again, you know, on the bench. And it's one of those situations where while Trubisky could get better, what Patrick Mahomes has shown is that when you take away the easy scheming, the easy mismatches because you're facing overwhelmed defenders. If you take all that away and put him in situations where the personnel is better than your personnel or good enough to take away some of what your game plan is, Mahomes isn't going to make the immature decisions. And that's the difference between a franchise caliber quarterback and a guy who hasn't proven that he's a franchise caliber quarterback.
Well, and you talk about Mitchell Trubisky, and I think that he played well against the Buccaneers, but it is the Buccaneers and they have a very bad secondary. One thing I will say, and I know we're going to stay talking about Patrick Mahomes most of the game, but I will also say, I have to say this because you look at that game last night, Von Miller had one tackle against the Chiefs. Mitchell Schwartz has been worth every single penny the Chiefs have paid him.
He gets a lot of...
I'll give you that. Ahead. Sorry, Matt. I was going to say, I'll give you that, but he was harassing Mahomes most of the evening, too. He just didn't get home. So I think you have to look beyond just the fact that he didn't get a tackle. I mean, he was chasing him around.
Well, he was chasing him, but there were also times where they let him go without hitting him at all. That play where Mahomes threw the ball left-handed, Schwartz wasn't even blocking him.
Note to self, don't do that.
Hey, yeah, it was interesting. Now, we got to take another quick break, and we will be right back. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we go buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to the store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added on a daily basis. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. We have a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. That's 35% off with promo code LOCKEDON, plus find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. Okay, Matt, so there was plenty to talk about on last night's game. Real quick, though, I have to ask the question, what was your favorite throw last night, if you had to pick one?
Oh, boy, what was my favorite throw? You know, I mean, I think, you know, I really did like the throw where he kind of contorted his body near the line, because whether people argue, you know, whether the validity of whether he was really across the line or not, it was so close. And to show that type of awareness and to be able to make that play across the field, that one to me was probably right up there with all of them, because it was just, it was so creative. And at the same time, as we talked about before, it was still one where he was careful about when to take that type of a chance. It wasn't reckless at all. It was more artistic than anything.
Well, and that specific type of throw is a type of throw that you hear coaches go, no, don't throw it across. Don't do that. And he made it look simple and completed it. And it was a huge play for them in that game.
Yeah. And it's a play that Andy Reid is totally fine with. I would bet in a million years, he might not say that to the media, but right. He's probably totally fine with Mahomes doing that because, again, he had Brett Favre. He understood. He coached Brett Favre, and Brett Favre said Reed was his favorite coach because he got me really prepared, but at the same time, he wasn't overly prescriptive about how I got it done. He just trusted me to get it done, and he showed me the parameters of what needed to be done, you know, how to do it. And I think Bill Belichick's always been very good about that. It's not so much about – if you need me to tell you exactly how to go about doing something, go ahead and ask. But until that time, I'm figuring that you are the professional and you're going to get it done however you need to get it done. I'm not going to overcoach you. And I think that, you know, Reed is one of those guys that's very good on that front. And that's why I was over the moon when the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, because you could see that he was going to wind up with a coach whose ego wasn't going to get in the way of letting Mahomes get the greatest expression of his physical and conceptual gifts as a quarterback. And that play pretty much just embodied all of that, that we just talked about. Just one play showed that the trust that the coach has in the quarterback, and the quarterback's ability to make good decisions, but also to do it in a way that nobody else can.
Well, and real quick, I have to say,
I think the biggest impact,
Ryan, this is going to go right up your alley, and we're going to go, I'm going to go away from the Denver game for a second and say my favorite throw that I've seen Patrick Mahomes make so far, one of them, and I'm not going to say it's the only one, but one of the top three, I will say, was his touchdown pass to Anthony Sherman in week one. And I know Ryan's going to like that because it was Sherman, but to me, it wasn't just that it was Sherman. It was the way he threw the ball, the touch that he had on that ball, and the placement. Everything that you want to see from a high-level quarterback on that one single play. And I know he's had a whole bunch of great throws. His throw in Kansas City was phenomenal. His first touchdown throw in Kansas City was amazing. But yeah, that throw to Sherman to me was a big deal.
That definitely was a good one. There was one where I really liked that. I believe it was like a double slant route, last week, where he could have thrown the inside slant, and he came off of it and then with kind of like a pump, and then waited just a split second more to get that outside slant. And and even with pressure near him, I just showed a level of restraint that I think, again, kind of points to the fact that he's far more controlled than people want to give him credit, because you hear the word gunslinger. You know, it's just something that's, again, embedded into our thought processes to associate that with bad things. And we've just, you know, I don't think he's played his best football yet. And remotely, I don't think he's been as accurate as he could be on a lot of throws over the middle, especially to Kelce. You know, I've seen a lot of throws that are a little bit behind his receivers at times, but were very catchable. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think that we've seen his best game. I actually thought yesterday was his best game because of the fact that the game plan was taken away from him, and he was forced to do a lot of things that were adjustments to the game plan or outside the game plan. And to me, it proved that he was more, you know, than just a product of the system.
You know, normally I tend to hold back and kind of frown upon people making comparisons to, you know, elite Hall of Fame type quarterbacks. You hear all the comparisons, particularly to Favre and Rodgers, which just, I've been trying to be the guy with his hand on the brake on the train here for, I don't know, 6 months.
Well, and, you're not the only one, buddy. I'm there with you, but it's hard to be there right now.
Yeah, it is. But and the thing that I want to point out is that the thing that's got me relaxing about that is not just how he plays his game. It's the effect that he has on his teammates, particularly on the offense, but on the defense too, because we've heard players be vocal about how they don't feel they're out in any situation, how they're amazed at some of the things that he does. And when he does make mistakes and he does throw the ball behind a receiver, or, you know, he had a couple even go into the dirt last night, and they're still not concerned. And that's a guy, that's a franchise quarterback that elevates an entire roster, not just by his play, but by his presence.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent point. And listen, I have to do comparisons for the rookie scouting portfolio because it's something that's a nice shorthand for people to understand kind of what that player's like. And to me, it's like with music comparisons, when you compare musicians or styles, it's more of a stylistic one with potential of talent as opposed to a one-to-one, you know, talent kind of comparison. But, you know, I do a spectrum of players. And so on one end of his comparison, you know, he was my top ranked player. Patrick Mahomes was my top ranked player and my top graded quarterback of at least the past 5 years. And, you know, that meant that his grade had a Pro Bowl player as his ceiling of potential. And the comparison I do as a spectrum is I put one player at the highest end, and then I have a player at the lowest end, possibly, unless the prospect himself is on the lowest end of that ladder. So on the low end of that ladder, I had Johnny Manziel. And as a low end, it was like, this is if, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a reckless personality. He's, you know, if we find out later in interviews that he's not a worker, that he leans just totally on his, you know, his God-given talent. If he does that, he's more like a Johnny Manziel. If he stays what he is from what I've seen in college, which is he has skills, he has the ability to learn, but he may learn a little bit slower in terms of maturation with judgment calls, and sometimes leans a little bit too much on his athletic gifts and isn't as attuned to when to use his physical gifts and when to be, when to be a little bit more conceptually and technically experienced and savvy, then I had him pretty much even with what we've seen from Matthew Stafford. And I was a big Matthew Stafford fan. I thought he's a very good quarterback who also sometimes earned the gunslinger label a little bit undeservedly in some areas, but, you know, certainly he's considered one of the better gunslingers in the league. And the guy at the top of that list, and not very far away, was Brett Favre. And that's the guy that I had compared, you know, he was the ceiling comparison, and you could see it. It was the massive creativity. When that creativity was harnessed well, he was a 3-time league MVP, and he's a guy that rallies teammates around him because he loves the game, because he's tough. And, you know, he and Matt Stafford are both tough. You know, you saw what happened to him in that Jets game. There were probably about, 30 quarterbacks in this league that probably would have left would have not come back into that game after what happened to him in the opener, especially when the offensive staff apparently wasn't wise enough to change the signals. And the Jets defense knew the signals in the game, and he still came back in there. And then you could tell he was probably still hurt because he literally missed six throws that should have been touchdowns in the San Francisco game. And he's a good deep accuracy player. So, you know, he was probably playing still hurt from that first game. So when you look at Mahomes is a tough guy. He's willing to take some hits, but he's not necessarily putting himself in the same harm's way. He's excited about the game. He plays with the enthusiasm of a kid, and that makes the team very excited, but he prepares like a top end professional, and he sees the game that way. And he's a little bit more, like I said, a little more careful, a little more sober, a little bit more meticulous about how he approaches his improvisations. And you can be an improviser, especially as a former musician who improvised, from my old kind of career aspirations. There are improvisers who are very meticulous about their preparation so that when they're up there on stage, it looks fantastic and exciting and unbelievably creative. But if you saw their process, they'd almost look downright boring if you saw both sides of it. And I think that with Patrick Mahomes, people may not understand that about him, but I think that's what he is he's a more meticulous Brett Favre, there's a lot to prove, because Brett Favre to me is, you know, I wrote an article a long time ago about, you know, what if aliens came to, you know, invade the planet like an Independence Day. But in my mixed up crazy scenario, they loved the game of football, and they came down and decided that they were going to, instead of wage a war, they said, you could either wage a war with us, which you will certainly lose because we're way ahead of you technologically, or we'll challenge you to a game of football. And we will be able to revitalize any player living or dead in the history of your game to form a team. And we'll play you with our best against your best. And you pick your team. And if you win, you keep your planet. If not, we're going to enslave you and send you to the mines. And so this was my premise. And I had some people participate in this. But my team had Brett Favre, because I looked at it as that Brett Favre was a type of player that in football is one of those games where it's not a science. It's not a chessboard. unless your chessboard is like in the middle of a room during a barroom brawl on biker night.
You look at what he is able to do, and what is so impressive to me is you said that he is a lot like Brett Favre in what he does right now. I think he has the mind and the capability to become like a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning eventually. I think his mind is going to get him to where he is able to see everything because of the way he has just changed different things in his game so far this year already.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that, you know, just not to, just because I'm a Brett Favre fan, you know, I mean, again, the RPO, you can, you know, John Gruden credits Brett Favre for inventing the RPO, you know, so it wasn't, you know, yes, we joke that Brett Favre didn't know what a nickel defense was until his second year as a starter. And that, you know, he was a circus act for Jerry Glanville in Atlanta. And that, you know, all the wild tales that they were telling about him, you know, before he kind of calmed down socially. But the fact of the matter is he was a very smart, intellectual football player, but he had a very impulsive side to him. And I think that's the difference is that Mahomes has a better ability. It looks like in terms of potential to not be as impulsive as Brett Favre and be less, you know, more precise and more clinical in the way that Brady and Manning were, but have the Brett Favre like tools to be able to do the other. And that's what makes him so resoundingly rare as a prospect and why it could have easily been ruined. And I think that's the thing that's what's so wonderful about all of this is that as an evaluator, you know, there, you know, I love the fact that I can say, yay, I rated Patrick Mahomes my top quarterback prospect over the past several years, and it's coming to fruition. But the real thing is, as an evaluator, is that quarterback evaluation is like the white whale for anybody doing, you know, media scouting or NFL scouting. It's so tough to do because there are so many variables, including how they're going to get developed, who they're going to be working with, what kind of offense it's going to be. And this was that rare confluence where it just was the right thing, where it just kind of was, it all fit, because it very easily, he could have wound up in Hugh Jackson's system in Cleveland and played right away as a West Coast guy. And he could have been DeShone Kizer'd. You know, I mean, would he have ended up like DeShone Kizer? I don't think so. I think he would have still shown enough that they would have maybe had to go through a couple of iterations of coaches, but they might have tried too hard to tame things that didn't really need to be tamed. They needed to be, you know, they would have given him too many boundaries, or he would have been put in a situation where he wasn't given enough input or control and enough responsibility, and they didn't trust him enough. And then that meant that his game wasn't allowed full expression. I mean, Andy Reid is in, you know, saying, what plays do you like? You know, I'm going to give you every responsibility and load you down with it because you're capable of it, but I'm not going to go in front of the media and tell people how bad you're performing in practice because you threw some interceptions. You know, I'm not going to throw you under the bus. I'm going to encourage you and let you, you know, make some mistakes, but know that this is part of your development plan and doing it at the right time and giving you the chance to really get the full expression of your talents. And I think that that's what makes this so great, is that this is what can happen when you have a great talent with a great fit. And, you know, he could have, you know, I mean, imagine him in an offense that the primary means was just hand the ball to Kareem Hunt on first down, hand the ball to Kareem Hunt on second down, throw, you know, try and throw a third and long pass, or we're going to run the draw play on third and long, you know, or, you know, any kind of stick in the mud offense that you've seen that's entirely predictable. Imagine if you ended up in Buffalo or Carolina, you know, and where their offenses are, you know, are very staid, you know, and as a result of that, he could have wound up just being a guy where you look and go, God, what he could be. Like every once in a while, we see a play or two during the season where you're like, that's the Patrick Mahomes we saw. How come we don't see that more often? Everybody's like, he's just not good. You know, he makes bad decisions. And what you don't see behind the scenes though, is how do we maximize that talent, and how do we allow his talent to grow and allow him to become a better player. And this is where, you know, this is why this landing spot is really that special. And fans can appreciate Patrick Mahomes, but they really should appreciate their team and the way that their team identified him and let him be the guy he is, because so many teams won't do that. And we're starting to see some changing of the guard with it, but not enough, not yet enough. This Patrick Mahomes could be a transformative figure to quarterback development in football. I don't think it's going to happen, but it could happen, because they might look at it and go, wow, you know what? Maybe we need to look for more intuitive type of players, creative type of players, and not look for these cardboard cutout robo quarterbacks that we do look at, and we emphasize the wrong things. And maybe we should look closer at the coaches that we're trying to hire and what the development track should look like, as opposed to just sticking them in and going, well, we're going to teach quarterbacking like John Wayne teaches kids how to swim, you know, and just throw them in the pool. And if they drown, well, we'll go get another one. You know, I mean, that's, yeah, exactly. So I think that that's what, you know, it sounds funny and I like to make light of it. And this is the type of stuff I write about in my publication, but it's like the truth of the matter is that's why I think Patrick Mahomes to me represents what the NFL gets wrong by going the opposite direction of Mahomes or Russell Wilson, you know, or Drew Brees even, you know, it's the fact that just because Tom Brady did it, or just because these guys, you know, there are certain ways that they look at, they only see it as one way. I got to get that one way. And it's like, no, there's like 3, 5, 6 different ways that you can go about doing this. And if you actually had if you hired coaches the same way that teams looked at guys like Mahomes and embraced that, you'd also have a more vibrant and diverse NFL that has a number of ways of doing things successful than having maybe guys who are retreads and you know, who are getting hired on the basis of success they had with great personnel, but now they think that they've misidentified the success of the team around them and said, well, it was because of my scheme that I got hired. So I'm going to use this scheme no matter what, even though my players may not match it. And then I'm going to waste millions of dollars of talent and potential so that I can ramrod my scheme down your throat until I get fired, because someone's going to hire me again because I had that success, you know, 15 years ago with this scheme, you know, and right. They talk about me on ESPN. So, you know, the owner's going to like that. And the owners, though, you know, because, you know, general, I talked with a scout who basically kind of said to me, look, you know, you go into a front office and the GM may go, the owner may go, so who are you hiring, you know, for your coach? Well, there's this guy from, you know, Slippery Rock School of the Mines who's doing some really innovative stuff. And he has this really great background doing some interesting things. And I think it will be a great success here. He's a terrific coach. People swear by him, you know, who are really like coaches that we should be listening to. And the owner's going to look at him blankly and go, yeah, really, who are you going to hire? Because, you know, the three guys I'm thinking that the auto dealer who, you know, who has box seats with me and the senator and this other guy who they all watch ESPN too, decided that, you know, because so-and-so was talking about Colin Cowherd really liked so-and-so that, you know, you need to get this guy from Big State, you know, even though Big State guy may not be a match at all, you know, and that's kind of the business sometimes, as crazy as that sounds. It's just like any other corporate cluster environment that you would deal with. And I think that that's the problem in the league, is that so when you get these bright spots with Mahomes where a team goes, you know what, and I'm an old coach, you know, but I can learn new tricks, and the GM and the owner can look at this and go, we think this is the best prospect in the class. And yes, it's unusual. And yeah, he may make some crazy mistakes because he's so creative. But we're willing to risk that if that needs to be what it is. And then they've been pleasantly surprised because
he hasn't had a turnover yet, you know, and he's broken records. And this, and last week was the time to do it. I mean, this yesterday was the exact time for this to happen, and he still didn't make a turnover. And he still, he and Kareem Hunt still carried that team on their back, and just said, "What, you're gonna make me play playground? Okay." You know, that's what, that's my old thing. That's like what I do. This like Andy Reid stuff where I'm learning offenses and, you know, stuff I learned from Alex Smith and all of the new stuff that I've absorbed. That's what I've been showing off for the past, you know, three games. Now you're just going to ask me to do what I do naturally. Yeah. Okay. It's not really what I want to do, but sure. Go ahead.
Well, and I think that, I think that has to be what is really scary to defensive coordinators right now is that, you're right. In a lot of ways, Mahomes and Kareem Hunt have really carried this team. You saw Tyreek Hill kind of carry him in week one, but you haven't seen that from Travis Kelce yet. Yes, he's had good games, but he hasn't really had that fantastic game yet. And Sammy Watkins hasn't had that game yet. And you know they're coming, but you don't know when they're coming or how they're coming. Now, the last thing I will leave this with is that how exciting is it to know he played this well against Denver? And now we have a matchup where he takes on the Jaguars at home, then heads to New England, and then takes on the Bengals at home before getting the Broncos at home again. This next four-game stretch is going to be a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, it is. And I think the Jaguars are going to be an even greater test than the Broncos because I think that their defense is just a little bit better, especially in the middle of the field. They're much better linebackers. And I think that you're going to see – guys like Miles Jack and Telvin Smith really do a good job of being able to shut down some passing lanes. And if there's, if I'm betting, if there's going to be a multi-interception game for Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be this weekend. This will be the game where he's going to get tested on that type of a level. If he's prone to make some mistakes, this might be it. But at the same time, I don't think, I still think that he's going to have a good game this week. I just think that this may be where the bubble gets dented a little bit, you know, there could be a little bit of a burst with that. But yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, this is a, this has been a fantastic time for him. And I think that really more than anything, if the Chiefs can, if Mahomes can be successful throwing in the middle of the field against the Jaguars defense, this game will be over fairly quickly. But if the Jaguars are able to pick him off or to be able to disguise some things, then, you know, then it may be a little bit tougher, but I don't think they will. I think the Jaguars are more of a, we play things straight up. We're not going to be out and try and trick you. We're just going to, we're going to rely on our athletic talent. And we think we can beat your talent and within our own scheme. And that bravado has not done a lot of teams very well against what Andy Reid has done. And I'll just say this. I mean, I can't say who, but somebody did tell me that that upon seeing Mahomes, you know, the first time the Broncos played and then earlier this season, somebody within that organization pretty much said, oh, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to be a problem for us for a long time.
Here on that. Now, folks, if you want to know more about what Matt saw before he became a Chief, make sure you check out the RSP at mattwaldman.com. And this coming month is going to be all these matchups that are really going to tell the tale about not just the season, but his progress as he continues to develop. And luckily, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Matt, but I think we're going to be able to get Matt back once a month or so we can check in quarterly on the development of this quarterback.
Oh, man, it sounds fun. I mean, between me and my – and having my buddy Mark Schofield, who does some writing for me at the RSP as well, when he's been on with you guys, I mean, you got two people who've been giggling about Patrick Mahomes for a couple of years now.
Well, the crazy thing is,
I got to go grab
the latest thing. The crazy thing to me is that we had Mark Schofield on last week to talk about Patrick Mahomes, and normally we wouldn't have him on for another month, but he's coming back on as the Locked On Patriots host in a crossover next week. So.
That's awesome. You know, he does great work and he's one of my favorite people and it's fun to have him doing some writing for me. And whenever we watch, you know, we both like Mahomes a lot. So it's fun to be able to, for us to tag team this show with you guys.
Well, we really appreciate it.
Folks, make sure you hit mattwaldman.com. I'll link it up in the show notes. But Matt, thanks again.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously, you can see how excited I am to get a chance to talk about a really an emerging force in the NFL, and it just couldn't happen, you know, to a better team.
Yeah, we appreciate it,
folks. We hope. Yeah, and I hope all of Chiefs Kingdom takes that to heart too. This is an outside voice, not one of somebody who covers this team every day. So take that to heart. Thank you for listening to us. Matt will be back in a month or so, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.